Have you ever felt like there's a bigger you that lives inside? Like you're more than one thing, but maybe you haven't given yourself permission to be your whole damn self. When we gather on Sexy Sunday, we're here to do that. I'm Bonnie, and I'm here for the taboo, the details of what makes you moan, and how we play with this experiment of life. Guess who's back? It's me. And we're here for so many more sexy stories, so much more real life conversation that is not filtered, where we say the damn things. It has been a minute since we have been together. I really stepped away, focused on some other things over summer and fall. And here is it's winter and cold. It's time to get warm. So welcome back to the podcast. I am here today for a solo session. And in the solo show session today, I am going to share something in this past week that has turned me on. And I think that one of the things that I come to with this podcast and part of its birth even, where I started it over on my Yoga Strong podcast, and where I would have conversations with my friend Taylor, and most often we would end up saying, okay, tell me something that's current. What's your current right now? What's something that's real and true for you right now? And something especially in this past week then, so it's recent. So as we step back into this space together, you and me, and knowing that you are listening to this with me and we're together in this experience, you have your own current, you have your own place that you're at. And I just am here to like high five you in that. And let's share. Let's do the thing. Yeah. So back in the pod with the thing that's turned me on this past week, and perhaps an invitation for you in the process. In this past week, oh my gosh, wait, we just have to have a pause here for a moment. Y'all's, this makes me so excited to be back on the podcast. And I just need a pause a minute. I'm gonna do a little dance here. These are the conversations that matter. And as like an aside, before I even step into this, I'm a mom. I have a kid who's going to graduate high school this year. He's 17. I have a 15-year-old. I have a 15-year-old who's going to be 16 this month, who's a trans kid. I have a 12-year-old. I have a full house, and I'm a parent, and I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a lover. I'm a friend. I'm all the things. And this podcast is about celebrating me and all the things. It's about celebrating you and all the things and how we're more than one thing. And it just feels really good to be here. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's go. In this past week, one of the things that I have done that has turned me on, because maybe there was more than one, is that I took myself dancing. Now, I don't know about you, but I have turned 40 since I have podcasted here, and there might be a lot of people who are not 40 who are out and going to the club and going dancing until like 2 a.m. I admittedly did not stay till 2 a.m., but that wasn't the, I mean, I would, but like that wasn't the point of it. I went dancing, and maybe I have older kids and maybe I have other things happening, and who goes dancing and who goes dancing by themselves? And you can go dancing with while being sober, right? So there's some questions and some things to hold here, but I just want you to know that I went dancing this past Saturday night, and it was life giving. I was sober. I was by myself, and I didn't leave with anybody else. I wasn't trying to hook up. I just went because I wanted to and because it was my own thing. So before I even step into that, I just want you to think about for a second, when you go out somewhere with somebody, or even don't go out, like let's say you're at home and you're going to make dinner and you're checking in with your people and you're like, hey, what do you want for dinner, right? Or if you go out somewhere and you're doing some sort of activity. You're like, hey, are you good? Do you want to keep going? Like, when, what time should we leave? You're visiting your parents and you have your kids or your partner with you. And you're like, hey, like, and they have some input and you have some input. And so you do this dance of what are we doing? When are we doing it? How are we doing it? And you have a check-in process. I am not saying that that is bad. I am saying, though, that it feels really, really nice to not do that sometimes. And I wanted to go out. And actually, I went out to a yoga class with a friend first. And then another friend was playing in a band. It was for like all ages, and that was fun. So then I went to that. And then I thought, I'm gonna go dancing. And so I had planned ahead of time. And even when I was in the car and I had to wait a little bit between the show that I'd gone to that my friend played in and the dance, because it wasn't even open yet. Dancing started at 9 and the show ended at 8, and I stayed and visited for a little while. But I was like, I'm just going to sit in my car and scroll on the gram and wait for time. And then I thought, no, it's late. I could just go back home. I could just like dance in the kitchen. I'm like solo in my house. So like that could be fine. And then I eventually thought, well, you know, I'll go over there. I'll just drive by. I'll see what I think. Because I haven't been to this place yet. So I drove across town and drove by, and I thought, well, I don't know. Like, I haven't been here. How does it look? Okay, fine. And then I parked and I was like, well, maybe I'll just walk up to the door. And if I walk up to the door, then I'll just get the vibe and maybe I'll go in and maybe I won't. And so then I walked up to the door and people were standing there. And then I just kind of leaned back, like there was a bike rack standing like on the sidewalk. And I was leaning against the bike rack and just like, honestly, I was scrolling pictures on Google. I had looked up on maps the location of the place and was like looking at pictures from inside. I was like, is this really when I want to go? Like, what is it really going to be like in there? Like I have to commit and not buy a ticket and like go in. I mean, heavens, this is so much like, this is real shit though, right? Like, this is the real stuff where I'm like trying to tack myself out of it and into it at the same time. Like, what's worth it? Like, should I go? Like, no. And I said, fuck it. I'm going in. I paid my $15. $15, that's what I was arguing with myself over. And I went in, and it was a fun vibe. And it's a cool space. And I didn't get a drink, and I wasn't high on anything. I was there to dance. And when I showed up, it was about 9:20, 9:30. So the music had just started, which meant that there was not a ton of people there. By the time I left at like 12:30, and there was a lot more people there at 12:30. But it was pretty empty. You could do a lot of twirling in the middle of the floor and not touch a single person. And so at that point in time, there was a couple dance spaces, and there's a lower space. I was dancing at Holocene in Portland. So if you're like, where are you dancing, Bonnie? Tell us. This is Holocene in Portland. So I was dancing in the lower space, and honestly, there was maybe like 12 of us. And I got there and I just kind of wandered around. I was like, okay, what's the space? What's the vibe? And kind of felt it out. And then, like, I have no excuses to not dance, right? And do you dance when the floor is empty? Or do you wait until it's full? And for me, I was like, well, like, what am I waiting for? There was like a fair amount of people who were just like kind of hanging around. There was kind of some balcony areas, and some people were hanging at some tables and had some drinks and were with a couple, you know, with other people that came with and were looking over down onto the dance floor. And on the dance floor, there was just, you know, just a handful, like I said, maybe 12 people in different locations on the floor. And it's like, well, like all these other people are just watching. Am I just going to be a solo person out here and like be a weirdo who's out there dancing? And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to feel it for a second. So I just felt it for a minute and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go down the stairs into the pit area and I'm going to stand in that back section. Okay, I'm going to go over there. And so I have my black Converse on, I have my jeans on, and I have a like pink, an oversized pink and black plaid kind of blocky flannel on that's buttoned all the way up. My hair is pulled back, like I have a middle part and is pulled back into a tight bun. I have big hoops on. So that's what I look like at that current moment. It's important because it's going to go somewhere else. And I walk down the stairs and I kind of stood in the back and it's house music and such good beats, live DJ, just like doing the thing. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. So I'm just like moving my bod and feeling the beats. And there were some people, you know, dancing again, like I said. And eventually I was like, came over and I kind of did some motions like, I'm going to come dance with you. And like, so I was dancing by some other folks. And just feeling it. And I let myself just feel it and just be in it and gave myself permission to just move because I was there to dance. And if other people, like those other people, they came to dance, they just weren't dancing at the moment, like anybody who was watching. And the places like this are full of eyes. And if there's one thing I learned from going to the sex clubs, I've been to the sex clubs here in Portland. And if this is the first episode you're listening to ever, then there's a lot of episodes you can listen to. There's a lot of stories still to share, as always is the case. But one of the things that I learned about going to the sex clubs years ago when I started going there, I went for the first time in 2018. So it's 2023 right at this moment. And they are places full of eyes. And as somebody who grew up Mormon and left the church a handful of years ago, I didn't really go clubbing. I didn't really go out dancing. I was pretty conservative Mormon. I was a good girl. I was a good girl. I'm a good girl in a different sort of way now, though. Okay. And so I didn't really have that experience of feeling the sense of eyes on me before. And when I went to the sex club, it really was that experience of like, oh, people are looking at me. Oh, I guess I'm worth looking at. Oh, okay. 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 And where it was uncomfortable at first. And then where it's like expected and natural and watching myself adjust to that and realize the sense of power that each of us have truly. And how do we really give ourselves permission to be seen? And to see each other and to let us be human in the way that we're just like we have these bodies, but we're also sexual as fuck. And let it be both and to embrace this power that I felt in myself when I let myself be seen and showed up in spaces where I knew that people were looking and to be really choose to be really conscious of that and to embrace that. So in some ways, going into a dance space where I'm like, I'm going to move however I want to move. I'm not here with anybody. There's nobody I have to check in with. I'm a 40-year-old woman and I'm here by myself and I'm fucking going to dance. And so there I was and people watch because people watch. And I know that. I could feel it, right? You can feel when people have their eyes on you. I can feel that they have their eyes on me. And I wasn't there for them. I was not there for them. So dancing for a bit. Some more people eventually are like kind of coming to join. I'm getting hot. So here's my tip. My tip is, especially, I mean, I'm going to speak to being a woman, especially as being a woman and being walking out on streets late at night without anybody else. I'm not really interested in wearing less clothing out on the street because I don't really want attention that might come from people who are out there. And so I will wear, so my trick with dancing is that I will wear a flannel. I'll wear something that's like a kind of a lighter weight thing, but is a long sleeved. It's especially helpful because it's cold. So that's a little bit warm and also that covers me up because underneath my flannel, I took it off. I button up the first couple buttons so it stays together well. And then I tie it around my waist. And I had on this, I wore this really thin strapped, short crop, kind of fake silky little top thing. I have no bra on. And, you know, if I'm going to bend over, you're going to see my nipples. Like, this is where I'm at. And yeah, that's what I was wearing. I can lift my hands up over my head and it doesn't show up my boobs. Like, so I'm there is just a crop little tiny silky tank thing. So that's what I was wearing. But I don't really want to walk on the streets in that. So my tip is to wear something that you can tie around your waist where you don't have to stash a coat and be like, is somebody going to steal my jacket or whatever? So that's the thing that I do, because I'm like, then everything is with me and I don't have to check on anything. So again, I was there to not have anybody to check on with. I was there to dance however I wanted to dance for as long as I wanted to dance. I was there to have all my belongings with me. I have my phone in my pocket, I have my keys in my other pocket, and I have my flannel tied around me, and I am ready to go. And I often will go dancing with my hair down, but it was actually so nice to have my hair up because then it's not so hot and sweaty. So here I am. I'm dancing. I've taken off my flannel. I take off my flannel and I'm like, okay, here's eyes, right? Like, I'm going to own this. We have the option. I have the option. We all have the option of making ourselves smaller or to stand the fuck up. And I wasn't there for, again, anybody else. I was there for me. Do I know that there's eyeballs? Do I know that people can see me? I do. Like, I do. And let them watch. I'm going to be down there in that dance floor and dancing. And so I think there's just like a consciousness of like a humanness of, yeah, I'm going to be here and I'm out here to start the party. It'll put me on that floor where there's like 12 people, where eventually there was like 100, 200 people. I don't even know how many people were down there. Eventually I was like, I can't even move. So let me be there. I'll be the party starter. Let me go out there and like dance. Yeah. 100%. Like, choose me. Like, I am okay with this. And allowing myself and giving myself permission to take up some space and to be big because I want it, because it feels good in me to not make myself small. And there's a lot of experiences that all of us have had where maybe we felt like we've had to be small, or somebody has told us that we need to be small, or maybe we've had to be small because it was a protection in a certain situation and circumstance. And there's so many ways of being or of whys that could have happened, but nothing changes when we do that. And I'm not here for that. So I'm out there. I'm dancing. I'm by myself. And I know that there's people with eyes, right? And all the things. But the floor starts to fill in. And I start dancing. And in this time, I just think about when I am out there by myself, I think about when I'm in my garage and I go lift. So my garage is a whole home gym. I do classes from there and et cetera. So it's like decked out. It's like what it is. It's like one of my favorite things that I have created in this house. And I have three mirrors on the wall and I will dance. And dancing and working out go hand in hand for me, because it's an embodiment practice. And moving your hips, if you have low back pain, y'all, please move your hips. Find some music that you can move your hips, move them in all directions, wave them, rock them from side to side. Move your hips, like as therapy for your back, like just move your hips. Somebody who has experienced a lot of low back pain, seriously, I'm actually pretty serious about that one. But I'll be in my garage and I'll be listening to music that makes me want to move, and I will dance and I'll be working out and I'll have like dance break. And it's not like I plan it. It's just there. And I'll watch myself in the mirror and I'll see the way that I move, and I'll let myself move in a way that feels good, that I'm like, ooh, that looks sexy. That looks sexy. And then I can close my eyes and I can feel it, right? So I am on the dance floor. There are no mirrors. But I thought to myself, how would I dance if I'm in my garage and it's me and the mirror? And what does that feel like? And can I give myself permission to dance so that it has that same sort of feeling where I'm like, oh, this is good, right? So that's what I did. And I can look down, and there's part of it that I can, you know, if you use a little peripheral vision where you're kind of looking downward rather than straight up, like not trying to stare at people's eyes, and like watch yourself move. So here's my tips for your dancing experience, right? Is to watch yourself move. And watch the way that you move your hands. Like, look at yourself. Let your hands touch your body. Let your hands tap down your legs or up your chest or on your shoulders. And allow yourself to have that tactile experience just with yourself. And then also, I find a lot of play when I close my eyes. And so I will, like, kind of observe my space and say, okay, there's like nobody around me that's like going wild. I'm going to plant my feet and kind of stay in the same place. I'm not trying to like do any funky side kicks while doing this, but I will close my eyes with the intent of feeling, just feeling into my body. And so eyes closed and move. And how would I move if I was the sexiest person in the room? That is what I invited myself to do. This is the honest truth. We're here to tell the truth. I danced this past Saturday, and I told myself that I was the sexiest person in the room, and I was gonna move and dance like I was the sexiest person in the room. And that felt powerful. And it didn't require me to be anyone else. It didn't require me to do anything else. It just required me for me to be me and to drop into myself and to really feel it. And how would you move your hips? And like some of the other language and the other prompts that I give myself are like, how would I move if I was trying to seduce myself? I was not there to seduce anyone else. I wasn't there to go home with anybody else. I wasn't there for anybody's compliments or anybody else's eyes. Do I know that there's other people there? I do. But I was there to seduce myself. I was there to be the sexiest person in the room for me. And to move in a way that felt expansive and playful and fun for me. And so that's how I moved. I would close my eyes and I would feel it. And how do you want to move? And, you know, I did this meditation training a while ago, and it's a moving meditation. And part of it with the moving, there was some instruction of being aware if you keep doing a same pattern and to change it, to give yourself a different sort of prompt. How else would you move? And I think of that often when I'm dancing. I'm like, okay, I've been doing this. Like, what else can I do? And give yourself a different prompt. Give yourself a different sort of expression. How else could you move your body? And I think of that as I am out dancing too. So I'm in this process. I'm the sexiest person in the room. And there is definitely some dude that I'm like, that dude's a creep. And I don't necessarily think of that super often. But there was a dude that was kind of creeping me out. And I was like, oh, he's coming close. And I know that he is going to touch me and he's going to come talk to me. And he eventually did. He put his hand on my back and leaned in real close and was giving me some sort of compliment. But like his whole vibe, I was like, I do not. I was like, thank you. Goodbye. Like, I do not want you close to me. And I was just aware of him and kept myself a little bit further away and tried to put some people between us. And real talk, like I looked around and I was like, okay, who's the dude? Like, what's a dude that's close to me that if that dude, as the floor is starting to fill up, right? That dude, if that dude gets handsy with me, who's the person that I can be like, hey, like, I mean, there's like, you know, bouncers and people, the security folks, but for somebody right close to me, if I needed somebody, who would I tap into? Who would I say, hey, will you help me here? And so I named somebody. I was like, that dude over there, dude with the long hair, that guy over there, like those. And that's like truly who it was, this dude with his long hair. And I was like, that's the dude that I'm going to ask to support me if I need support here. I didn't need to, but that's like honestly what went through my head. So, and if, you know, maybe some of you listening to this have had the same experience, and I will share that story because then there's also, he was the first person who came and said something to me, and he was not the only person who came and said something to me. I had a handful of other people who came and talked to me or gave me some sort of compliment or, you know, asked me about dancing in some way. And they all felt fine. Like they all felt like kind and invitational and respectful. And so what's the difference? Because maybe if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't want to be the creepy person. I don't care what gender you are. Like, we don't want to be the creepy person. I don't want to be the creepy person. So I think the difference is that the other people, it didn't feel like they were trying to get anything from me. They weren't trying to like be in or like force anything. And this person, this one dude though, it felt like he was trying to insert himself next to me, insert into me, right? Like with like that's the hard line, no. But he felt like he wanted something. He wanted to get something from me, and I was not there for that, and not especially with him. And the other people that talked to me, they were like an expansive opening. They were just like an open palm, like hello, you know, etc. So it was a kindness and not a grasping. And so my encouragement would be if you want to have some sort of conversation with somebody, then do it, but without attachment, without a needing of them. Like be there for yourself and be there for kindness for others, but like it doesn't have to, like you don't have to be the creepy person. So don't be the creepy person because you don't have to be. So again, this is for me. I was the sexiest person in the room. Was I really the sexiest person in the room? I don't fucking care. I actually don't fucking care if I was the sexiest person in the room in like objectively big outside of like, you know, somebody just looking in on the whole crew of hundreds of people that were in there. That wasn't what I'm talking about. I was the sexiest person in the room because I said it. And because I let myself move like I mattered, like I gave a fuck, like I had big joy. And what happens when you allow yourself to be big, to take up space, to move in ways that feel good without checking in on anybody else? Without trying to rub up on anybody else, without any alcohol or drugs or anything, where you are just in you and aware, that's the power. Like, that's what I want. That's what this podcast is about. That's what everything I fucking do is about. Like, claim that. And I want the person next to me who's dancing, I hope they told themselves that they were the sexiest person in the room. I hope that they were in that space. I hope that they danced for them in a way that felt good. Because even though I was telling myself that, that doesn't mean that I don't hope that for every other person in that room. I hope all of us are dancing in that way. This is for me. This is for me. There was one person who approached me after I had been there for a bit of time, and I had moved to this upper floor, and he's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And I saw some friends that had shown up, and I was like, oh, hi, friends. And then he came up to me and he was like, hey, can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, I was just with a friend and I just took her home, and she's a professional dance teacher, and we were talking about you, and she had said that she would bet money that you were a trained dancer. And so I just wanted to ask, like, are you a trained dancer? Like, is that like a profession of yours? And that was a really kind thing to like ask me, because I am not. But I moved like it was what I was born to do. I moved without any apology. I moved to be like, as sexual as I wanted to, because dancing, like, what is sexual and what isn't sexual? Is a body sexual or not? It's both, right? It's not sexual, it is sexual. Is moving your hips sexual or non-sexual? It's both, right? But I let myself be like, I am the sexiest person in the room. How am I going to dance? How am I going to move if I'm going to embrace that again, just for me? So for somebody else and for other people to be like, oh, I see you. Oh, I see you. There's something here. Like your dance moves, like there's a thing here. And I'm like, thank you. Right. And so for this one particular person to like have had this conversation with a friend and where I said, no, actually I'm not. I have not taken any of dance classes. And it's like, but, and he felt very confused. He was like, wait, but I don't know. Was he expecting me to say that I was a stripper or that I did pole dancing or like, I would love to try pole dancing. I've not done that. But like, those are not part of my background. And I was like, you know, I practice yoga and I like to strength train. I do a lot of moving things and I love to dance. That's what I told him. And there is a part of it for me that feels really endearing because y'all, part of what gave me a lot of joy was how yoga helped me into my body. And I was so terrified to move and look dumb. And to look ridiculous and to feel ridiculous in my body, to like feel awkward. I felt awkward in my body. I've been a tall person my whole life. I'm like almost 5'10". I was almost 5'10 as like a 13-year-old, and I've just been this height since. And so I was tall, young, and had big feet and like just felt awkward and felt socially awkward. And I wanted to be a dancer because I would watch dancers. And I would watch So You Think You Could Dance on TV back when it was like new, and watch them have such control and strength that it looked graceful as fuck. And that's what I wanted. And I didn't know how to get it. But then I found yoga, and it gave just enough structure to move my body in ways that I had not. And yoga invites you to move big and to make your body big and to do weird things with your body in yoga. And it helped me find myself. The yoga practice is more than just like a movement practice, but like I can talk about meditation, I can talk about breathing, I can talk about the shapes, right? And all of those pieces, really yoga helped me with those pieces. Strength training on top of that 100% as well, because you can't like lift up heavy things and watch your body and your muscles grow and not be like, damn, like I have done something. I can see that I have done something. So I think these embodiment practices have been really impactful because of that, and yoga in specific, because it taught me how to be in my body and how to let my body be weird and big. And now I've developed a type of yoga and flow that is interesting to a lot of people. I teach something called Flow School that is interesting to a lot of people, because I teach flow and it feels like a yoga dance. And people will often say that I feel like I'm in a yoga dance, and it lets your body find this motion where it's not just limbs, it's not just arms and legs. It's how you move even in the middle of everything, in the middle of your body, in the middle of pose to pose. And this was how I found dance in me and how I've given myself permission to move like the sexiest person in the room. And it's not going to look like sexy to somebody. And I don't fucking care, because it's not about them. It was about me. It was for me. And I think about what would happen in our world. What would happen if you listening to this podcast decided, I'm going to be the sexiest person in the grocery store today. I'm going to be the sexiest parent watching soccer with my like 5-year-old today. I'm going to be the sexiest person in this boardroom meeting today. I'm going to be the sexiest person at the coffee shop today. I don't know, like whatever it is, what happens? And not just that you're there and you're saying, I'm going to be the sexiest person, but also there's an asterisk next to that where there is room, and we want to make room for like all the, like, I hope the person next to us is saying the same thing, right? We're going to hold that too. Like, I want us to hold that as well. So what happens when the entire coffee shop is filled with people who are like, I'm the sexiest person in the room? What is that energy? What is that energy? How is that honesty and that like power and that grace and that invitation? And especially because we're holding in the same hand, like, oh, you're the sexiest person too? Oh my gosh, yes, yes. And there's a celebration in that. Y'all, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. Welcome back to the podcast. I am here to celebrate you being the sexiest person in the room. And I am too. And this is for me. And going dancing all by myself, that was for me. I didn't have to show up for my kids. I didn't have to show up for my lover. I didn't have to show up for my sister. I didn't have to show up for my mom. I didn't have to show up for anybody. Just me. And I danced until I was done dancing. And I was there for 3 hours. And everything was sweaty. And I left really happy. And I've known people who it takes them some sort of substance to be able to drop into that space. And if you're in that, you know, if you're in that place and you're figuring that out, I see you. And also, I think there's something powerful about being able to grow into the space of giving yourself permission sober. And I'll say that honestly. And it's really been cool as like somebody who has come late to the substance game, shall we say. I was Mormon. I was very active. And like I said, I was a good girl. Not the kind of good girl that I am now. But I was a good girl who didn't do any of the things. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't drink coffee. I didn't try anything. I'm like, okay, I have my Tylenol, my ibuprofen when I have a headache and I have cramps. There we go. And so coming to this late in the game where I've never blacked out, I've never puked, and I'm not interested in it. I've been drunk once. It was terrible. I was like, why do people do this? And will I drink occasionally? Sure. And will I take some sort of substances? Yes. But I think I'm also really interested in how we can exist sober and love that. So that's going to be my invitation to you too, is I want you to be the sexiest person in the room, no matter what substance you have in you. And that's a process. And that's kind of what this podcast is about. That's kind of what life is about, right? We're here for like this attention of what am I doing? How am I doing it? Do I have too much structure and too little freedom and too much structure? And where do I find this form and flow and this push and pull in life to find some sort of grounding balance where there's room for me to move in freedom, but I also have a foundation? And that's your sexiest self, y'alls. Oh, sexy as fuck. Yeah. Where's the place that you have boundaries, but you're like big? And how those things play together. Okay. Well, this is it. Welcome back to the podcast. That's an experience for me in this past week. And I think where I'm also at as far as like an update of, you know, what's happening in the life of Bonnie as we step back into this place. I share a lot as I am in conversation with guests on the podcast. But I think at this moment, like I said, I am also with my kids. I'm with my kids half time. I am divorced and they're with their dad the other times. I have a 17, a 15, and a 12-year-old. And I like to talk to my kids about sex and about STIs and about all the things, mental health and politics and you name it, we are willing to say it around here. And we're here for the conversations that are real life and about being willing to innovate in spaces that maybe need change and being willing to integrate parts of us that maybe we have said cannot have room, and maybe we give them permission to exist, because I am more than one thing and you are more than one thing. And we are both the sexiest people in this room. Thank you for being here with me. If this story and these conversations feel like they make a difference to you and to the way you think, it would mean a whole ton for me, especially because this podcast is newer, if you would share this conversation, share this podcast, share it on social media, and tag me at Sexy Sunday with Bonnie on Instagram, and share it with your friends, and leave me a review on whatever platform that you are listening to this, and leave a review about the podcast. And those things matter a lot because these conversations are not always talked about. And things happen, things change when we decide to stop hiding and we decide to be the biggest people in the room. And it is a whole fuck ton of work, and we do it together. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for this time and attention. And keep it sexy. You, my friend, are more than one thing. Mwah.